Good morning, everybody. It's so embarrassing when your countdown clock gets to zero and then it starts at 60 again.
They say if it's all nice, right. Do it twice.
Yeah, good morning. Morning. Jack Mutlante is here and we are ready.
Good
to take you into your Wednesday. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you, big guy?
I'm very good.
All good.
Very, very good. Yes.
All good.
It's that time of year where we it starts to warm up. We start to head downhill towards the holidays, you know, the end of the year. It's not that far away.
I actually noticed something spectacular this morning.
Tell me.
I noticed that the sun was rising. At
see.
5:45. Can
this is the good
that?
News. This is the good news, everybody.
Mm.
Yeah, I hope you're off to a good start. And if you're not yet, then we will get you there. Promise you. Bitcoin Boot saying the sound is a bit messed up for Gareth. Is there a problem? Oh, okay. All right, they're fixing it. Don't worry. So, it sounds like I'm in a bubble, according to these people. I'm going through a tunnel. What do you want to do? Swap microphones?
No, I think the cable.
Change the cable?
No.
Oh. Look, you see, that's Flex, by the way, everybody. Yeah. Hiding under the desk here. There he is. See? He's a real person. You think it's better now? No.
Is it not better?
No.
Apparently, I was loud as hell as well.
We didn't test this morning before we started, did we?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Jack will do the show. I'll just sit here.
Yeah, so this week we are going to take a monster dump on...
Oh.
Just kidding. No, I'm playing.
Well, I do have a really horrible story. I mean, let's just start this one off because this is quite incredible. So apparently they found a guy. I think this is 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But they found a guy who is 36, an Italian male, tested for mpox, monkeypox, COVID-19, and HIV simultaneously.
Like?
Hmm? The hell's that all about?
And I remember when they were telling us how we transfer or transmit the COVID virus. This guy is having a very hectic life.
Well, he apparently he confirmed all of these symptoms after returning from a trip to Spain during which he engaged in unprotected sex. It's notable that the symptoms of COVID-19 and mpox overlapped, posing challenges for accurate diagnosis.
Mm.
Following the onset of symptoms, the patient tested for COVID-19 on July the 2nd of that year. Following day, he developed small painful vesicles and a rash. Ugh. Have you seen what this mpox looks like?
It looks terrible. It looks so absolutely terrible.
I don't know how much of it is just bullshit, right? Because we've been lied to so much that I just don't trust these people anymore in governments all over the world, the World Health Organization. I don't, and it might be to my detriment. But the last time we trusted them, remember what happened.
Yeah.
So if mpox is what they say it is, and they're showing like these pictures, these terrible like blisters all over people, looks revolting.
It does.
Then I'm just not having sex ever again. That's it. If that's the way to protect myself, you know what? Frankly, I'll do without.
I am sorry. I'm willing to risk it for a biscuit.
Really?
I'm going to risk it for a biscuit. What?
You come back here full of those blisters?
I won't come back here.
You'll die.
I'll come somewhere, but I won't be back here.
You know, I've often thought about this. It's like how many stupid things we do, especially guys. It's less of a stupid thing in the girls' universe as it is ours. The things we do for sex, for that couple of minutes of pleasure.
Oy.
Think about how much money you've spent over your life. Think about how many dumb, inane conversations you've been in.
Mm.
Think of how many crazy distances you've traveled.
How
many lies? Just think about the work that went in to try to get laid. Right?
Dude, yes. The thing is, when you think about how great it is, it makes sense why we go through all of the things we go through to get some.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, this guy apparently, his vesicles evolved into pustules. This is beautiful. Prompting the patient to seek medical attention. Additionally, he was screened for multiple sexually transmitted infections. Okay, so he was just that dirty. I mean, like, you know what? Let's just, in order to calm our nerves, we don't need to be more frightened in the world in 2024 than we already are.
Yeah.
There's war on, there's...
yeah, there's a lot.
There's Trump versus Harris, there's you know, nuclear Armageddon on the horizon. Mm. We've gone through one pandemic, which turns out to have been just a complete waste of time.
Yep.
People are not happy about what the future of the economy looks like anywhere in the world. So let's just accept that this one guy is not the test case. He is a dirty ass, filthy, sleeps around with everybody, man whore. And that's why this happened to him.
Here's the thing, right? So when you consider just how much a man has to get together in order to sleep with a woman, like, you need to be charming. You need to be well dressed. There's so many boxes you need to tick.
Not always. Depends on the quality of the woman.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to do none of those things. Sometimes you just have to be in a place.
But this guy, if I was writing the article covering this guy's story, the headline would read, "Go hard or go home."
Is that what you would say?
Yeah, go hard or go home. I love it. Collect all of those diseases. Like he's like the Thanos of diseases, just walking around collecting infinity disease stones.
Well, it is like, I mean, you know, if you were a religious type of person, you would say this is sure proof that God does not like people sleeping around.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If you're not a religious type, it's like, don't sleep around. That's the kind of clear message here.
Long story short. And
I think the solution to any of this is either to be celibate, which I wouldn't recommend. I don't think it's a mentally healthy place to be. To be
There's
completely
some benefits
celibate.
To it.
There are benefits, sure.
Yeah.
I've never tried it for very long. Sounds to me like it's really boring. But faced with that or pustules, I'm going to maybe go with a celibate. And then the other alternative is to just get married and settle down with one person who you know is not going to cheat on you.
I'm in. Okay, I choose that one.
That's what has made the foundation of societies since the dawn of time.
Yep.
And yeah, I know there are lots of people who are like, oh, it's the era of the slut. And, you know, you all got to just sleep around and do whatever you want and free expression and be your true self and be your feelings and all that stuff. But maybe nature itself is rebelling against that.
Yeah.
That's all I can think.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't want to overanalyze it, but I don't like the sound of this Mpox shit. I'm certainly not going to go into lockdown or take government-sanctioned injections.
Yeah, no. That's that definitely not happening.
Who did I bump into the other day? It was a policeman who said to me, "They mustn't try that shit again." A policeman.
Yeah.
He's like, "They mustn't try that shit again on us." So I said to him, "Really?" He's like, "Oh, it was hard. They had to arrest people for stupid things." He said, "Looking back, it was embarrassing." He thinks it actually affected the authority of the police negatively, which it definitely
did.
It affected the authority of government negatively. And I think only the most craven, spineless, slave people will accept government telling them, "You got to go into lockdown, or you got to get this, or you got to do that." I don't see anybody but idiots falling for that crap.
Yeah, I'm definitely not falling for it. And
I don't think so either.
Like, any person that's still on the fence about it, like, or they still believe that we should just follow what the government says and we should take vaccines and all of this stuff.
Ah, please.
Yeah, I don't know. We might be better off without you, actually.
Kathy Lee says, "They suck my hind tit." She's not messing around this Wednesday morning.
No, she's not. I love it.
Oh, yes, sis.
I love the energy.
Can I say that I had, I just love, you know what? One of the things I love about being South African, I'm so happy. Biltong. Dude, it's just such a small thing, but it makes me so goddamned happy.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing better than really, really good biltong. And there are a couple of butcheries that I've gone to in my time. Some of them make it beautifully. Some of it's just like dried, desiccated meat. It's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But some,
some places get it just
they just know
right.
what they're doing, right?
There's there's this butcher in this butchery, rather, not a butcher, in Klerksdorp that I went to a couple of years ago.
That's a long way away.
Yeah. But the biltong was that good, Gareth.
Worth it.
It was worth it. Like, you bite into that thing and you actually notice that the earth is moving. It's just absolutely delicious.
So I know that I know that the French have all this fancy cuisine.
They eat snails. So
they do. Yeah. But they eat terrible stuff. I mean, listen. And also, if you've ever been to France and you've tried their food in situ, it's mostly the atmosphere. It's the theater of it. It's got nothing to do with the food itself.
Mm.
No one goes, escargot, perfect. I love this. I want this every night. No?
No.
You could have biltong every day.
Yeah, you could.
You don't have to have a lot, but you could have a little bit of biltong every day. They say it's one of the healthiest snacks you can have, right?
Hmm. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. It's protein, a little bit of fat there, the healthy kind.
Okay, now I'm going to pick up some biltong on my way to the office.
I mean, so this is what I did yesterday. And I think we should stop messing around. Like, we're trying to find our national cuisine, and people are talking about, like, bap and shawa, and they're talking about braais and all this stuff. It's not. It's just biltong. Let's just accept it. Because everywhere in the world, when people try it, they go,
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless they're vegan, and frankly, who cares what vegan thinks?
Yeah.
Vegans' opinions are not required when it comes to food. Thank you very much.
And then
there's a lawn right outside for them to go munch on if they have anything to add.
You know what I mean? And last week when Timothy was on the show, he told us that he was vegan. He says,
"I know. I saw
they don't
you,
invite
I saw
me to the braai. Like, what are you doing?
I saw your face as he said vegan. You were like, oh, I'm so disappointed because I really liked you up to there.
Yeah, like we were on the same page. Mind you, I'm a recovering vegan, by the way.
Oh.
I was vegan for a while.
Oh, Jesus.
And I realized the fallacy that is veganism. Like, yes. It doesn't make sense. Guys, think about it this way. Life is about balance.
Mm.
You shouldn't be walking around just eating meat or just eating veggie.
Sure.
You need to mix it up a little bit. Find a balance.
We know we've got a problem in South Africa with males of a certain age. They have heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
They end up with various circulatory conditions as a result of cholesterol, as a result of too much red meat.
Mm.
Okay, so we know that.
Mm.
And even if that's not the only cause, because I know I'm going to get a doctor somewhere saying to me, that's not why we have cholesterol. Some people, it's just genetic. Cool. I think there's too much of anything. What Jack is saying is spot on, like a bit of balance, which means that if you like biltong, don't have it every day, but you can have a little bit once, twice a week. It's expensive. I mean, Mapelo puts this comment up. Sorry, Mfundo says, biltong is the most expensive snack, seriously. It is.
It is, yeah.
Maybe because it's good.
And justifiably so. I was just about to say so.
Maybe because it's good,
yeah.
Janine says, GC, no longer worried about what to get you for your birthday. I mean, I make mean biltong. Ooh, you make it. Now that's impressive.
Yeah, no.
Okay. I remember when I was a kid, my dad made biltong a couple of times, but I never really was paying attention, and I should have. So I better ask him about that
before
it's too late and the recipe is lost to time.
Yeah, we
Patrick
can't have
says,
that.
I have hereditary cholesterol, so what? I chow biltong every day, you see? There we go.
Patrick sounds like he needs to join that man in Spain. Mm. They are balls to the wall.
Mm. Mm. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
All right, so a couple of things. Just quickly, I saw this from the owner of X Twitter, Elon Musk, this morning. He put up a picture of a whole bunch of gun emojis. Have you got that picture for us? This is very, very depressing because if you look at it, going your x-axis, we've got Apple, Google, Microsoft, Samsung, Facebook, and X. Okay, and then on your y-axis, you've got the different years from 2013 to 2024. And it's got a little emoji icon of guns.
Mm.
Now, I got to say, Google starts off with the coolest one. It's like a 16th century flintlock pistol.
Mm.
Okay, that's very cool. We've got a revolver for Apple, a revolver for Samsung, a revolver for Facebook, a revolver for X. And then for Microsoft, you've got some piss-widdly made-up like Nerf gun type thing, right?
It looks like it should be in Despicable Me.
It's so bad. It's like, what would a pew, pew, pew? How would that sound? Like the Star Wars
exactly
troopers
that.
Guns. Okay. Just pew, 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 pew. And eventually, somewhere around 2016, even Microsoft's embarrassed and they joined the Revolver Club, right? And 2016 is like, and 2017, a high watermark for the gun emoji. Because the only loserish, woke, boring, lame, backward, pathetic, pussified stuff belongs to Apple. And it's driven me crazy since 2016 that when I look up the gun, nothing comes up. I have to look up water pistol, and it gives me that shitty little green gun. Which, I mean, frankly, you know, that's not even pew-pew. That's psh, 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 psh. Okay, as someone who is an enthusiast for guns, I have always been a responsible, legal gun owner. I go to the trouble of going to the range as often as I can because I think it's fun and because I like to keep myself practiced.
Yeah.
I'm also going to keep your weapon clean. You got to keep using up the ammunition because it doesn't last forever and it can get, you know, stodgy and doesn't fire as well. And you need to keep replacing this stuff.
Yeah.
So I go to the range, also keep your eye in. And you think you're still a good shot, but you're not. And then you have to get practice in. And I'll sometimes go clay pigeon shooting. I haven't been hunting for a long, long time. We won't even go into that because some people get very, very upset. It's linked to the vegan thing in some ways.
Yeah, whatever. Quit crying, do some push-ups or something.
I'm so sad to see that we can't even, like, there are people in this world who are so dumb and so sensitive and so caught up in their feelings that you can't even show them an emoji of a gun without their whole worldview falling apart. Like, whether the people who made the pew-pew or the psh-psh guns part of our lexicon in terms of emojis or emoticons, whether they are in favor of it or not, there are actual guns in the world. And you know what? There are a lot of them that are being used right now to do terrible things. And no amount of emoji with a pew-pew or a psh-psh is going to change that.
Yep, without a
shadow
of a doubt.
So I just wish we could stop being so goddamned pathetic. Like, just it's an emoji.
It's, oh no, but it's violence. It's violence. You can't use a gun emoji. It's too violent. I'm gonna cry.
Who is the person who thought that? Just look, bring that thing back up. Okay. So I see now in 2024. Let's skip to the end, because maybe some people think I'm being hysterical here. Okay. We've got a psh, psh. We've got a psh, psh. We've got a. We've got a, we've got a, psh, psh, and then finally you've got an actual gun. And the only one that isn't totally pussified is X.
Yep.
Which is, funnily enough, exactly what happens when you look at the comments or you look at anyone's feed on any of the others. You are censored. You are edited. You are reprimanded. You are accused of disinformation or misinformation if you don't fulfill certain requirements on any of those others, but on X, you can still be real.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't even know that it's about politics or it's about wokeism, leftism, rightism, fascism, whatever your thing. It's none of those things. You know what it is? It's reality, like the world we actually live in, and fantasy, a world that you live in your head, but that doesn't actually exist.
Isn't it,
you just got to decide which one you're in. Are you in the real world where there are actual real guns and people have real opinions and sometimes people can be mean? Or are you in the fantasy world where you're trying to pretend, because it's not real, you're trying to pretend that everything is as it is in your Teletubby land in your head? And I feel desperately sorry for people who are stuck in Teletubby land, because it's not how it works.
It really
isn't.
And
at some point, you're going to hit your head against reality, and then you're going to break down completely because you've got no built-in immunity to it. You've spent zero time actually learning about the real world, and 100% of your time has been spent negotiating, navigating, and protecting your precious feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous.
So I was thinking about this last night, actually. You know how the left has continuously said there's things that are social constructs and we shouldn't just follow where, you know, society has been this entire time?
Yeah, but critical theory, everything's made up.
Right.
You just have to redefine things. We need to use new words.
Yep.
You'll change reality. But
and the people that are most guilty of it now are the people that are saying that our entire existence was a social construct. It's like, but guys, how can you revolt against something and then replace it with the exact same thing?
Correct. Thank you.
How?
Thank you. You've just taken this thing full circle, like the Ouroboros. You know,
what
the
is
snake
that?
That's eating its own tail.
Oh, yes.
It's just this does bother me. I mean, I you see it day to day, and mostly not in the real world. It's mostly on social media, which is not real. Okay, but the realest of them is probably going to be X.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw this morning by way of illustration. Like, you can believe whatever bullshit they serve to you, but then that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you think that. For example, I mean, I see a lot of noise this morning about Buyiseni Ndlozi and the EFF. Okay, this is maybe not the best example, but it's on my mind, so I'm going to use it anyway. So, you know, Floyd resigned from the EFF the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Big story. We didn't really cover it much because it was Friday, and we were like, eh, who wants to be talking about politics on
a Friday?
Right, exactly.
Much less the EFF.
So we avoided it. But it was a really interesting moment because what you've got there is Jacob Zuma ensuring the continuation of MK when he's gone. He's collecting, like, people. You can argue that he's collecting the very worst people from all over the place, and that the MK party is just really the most terrible collection of disgruntled thieves who are currently not thieving. You know, currently they don't have their hands on anything they can steal.
Yeah.
Only because they're not in proximity to power. But Floyd moving across there is a big blow to Julius and the EFF. I mean, I don't see how the EFF can go anywhere but down from here. They were already going down in terms of the numbers. So it was slight. But then when it starts breaking up from the inside out, it's an obvious sign that the place is falling apart.
It really is.
So now it's like Julius is the guy who's running a party that's actually just a one-man band.
Mm.
Right? And it's going like this. Now, Buyiseni Ndlozi is like the third in command there. And when Floyd was there, he was definitely not superior to Floyd or Julius.
Nope.
Yeah, those two were like the kingpins. This guy was like the brains of the business, you know?
Mm.
So I just had a line from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels pop into
classic
my head that ties together all of this stuff.
So
you got Hatchet Harry sitting at his desk with a whole bunch of sex toys, and you've got Baptist Barry who's sitting there. Baptist Barry has to tell these two idiots they have to go and steal two shotguns. That's why it came to my mind.
Yeah.
From a house in England somewhere. So he goes, what I want you to do is to go in and get these two shotguns. So the guy goes,
shotguns? Is that like guns that fire shots?
And he looks at him and goes, oh, you must be the brains in the business. That's right, guns are far shot. Anyway, so Buyiseni's like the brains in the business, right?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
He doesn't really know what to do, because if he was street smart, like you said earlier when we were talking before the show, Jack, give him credit where it's due. He's like, Buyiseni Ndlozi's book smart, not street smart.
Yep.
And a really wily politician would say, ah, there's a gap.
Mm.
If I fill that gap, now I become the 2IC.
Yep.
And I can direct the future of this party, maybe save it, maybe build it,
maybe grow it. If he was genuinely street smart, the way I know certain politicians to be, with the elective conference coming up in December, from the 13th to the 16th of December, I would have positioned myself to actually challenge Julius Malema for that top position.
Because there are a lot of people who really like Buyiseni Ndlozi.
They love Buyiseni.
Right. Now, I've had his number on my phone for a long time because I had a couple of interviews with him when he just started with the EFF. And he is a smart guy.
He is.
Has some good ideas, has some terrible ideas.
Mm.
But he could have positioned himself as the real brains in the business, and people would have gone, you know what? Actually, that's what we need. No more populism and stupidity. Let's get someone who's got a real brain, someone who can figure stuff out. I mean, I don't like any of his policies, just for the record.
Sure.
But there are people who do. And he could have appealed to those people.
See, he's got balance. That balance I was talking about early on. So he is from Soweto.
Mm-hmm.
He is, from Sebokeng, excuse me.
Yeah, you have to sell this to me properly. Go.
Right? Number one, So he's got the historical struggle background, if I can put it that way. Uh-huh. So that gives him a couple of brownie points. Uh-huh. Number two, he's young. Like we said, he's what? Mm-hmm. He's in his 40s now?
I think he's even 30s.
30s? Listen to that. That is even more fantastic.
Yeah.
Number three, he speaks English in a accent that makes white people comfortable. And whether we like it or not.
You think that's important?
It is important. It is important. Look, I genuinely believe that although Julius Malema has said a lot of crazy shit in the past, one of the major things that makes white people uncomfortable with Julius is how he talks. I kid you not.
Probably. I mean, there's stupid people everywhere, and yeah. I can't account for them.
Yeah.
What really makes me worry about Julius is the things he's saying, not the way he says them.
Yeah, true. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of crazy statements that we can attribute to Mr. Malema, but that tone.
But here's the important thing: is Mbuyiseni's not doing any of this. He's not. He's not grabbing hold of the opportunity, which either shows you that he's not as wily as we had hoped he was, or that he's afraid. Might just be like lack of courage.
See, those options keep getting worse, Gareth.
Okay, so anyway, the reason we brought him up is because you either live in reality or you live in a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So your fantasy could be that you're going to take over a political party or you're going to join another political party or whatever, but you never do anything. So it remains a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Leonardo da Vinci had just thought of the Mona Lisa, it wouldn't be the most famous and expensive and valuable painting in the whole world.
Yep.
It wouldn't be sitting in the Louvre. It would be an idea that died with him. No one would care. It's a fantasy.
I came across this. There's a bunch of quotes that motivate people to get shit done.
Mm.
One of them was... the one place with all the great ideas is the cemetery.
So it's so funny you bring that up. I had a very unproductive day on Monday, but I had a very productive day yesterday. Monday, I went to a funeral of a friend of mine's mom. And, you know, it's never nice.
Mm.
Like, it's never good.
Mm.
But I got to say, there is something about death, especially if it's someone you knew. I don't know her well, but I knew her. Something about death that kind of gets everything into line in terms of priorities, right? Yep. So I didn't do a lot of useful stuff on Monday. I wasn't particularly productive, as I said. But I had no room in my day, and I'm trying to stay in that space for any bullshit, unimportant stuff. Like, after this, I went to go and fetch something, and the place that I went to, there were people arguing about stupid stuff, and I just collected what I needed to, and I just left. Now, ordinarily, I would have got involved, I would have had a part of the conversation. I was like, I don't need to be part of this.
Not today.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
suddenly, completely. You get everything figured out a lot quicker. It's all much, much clearer. Context, relevance, it all falls into perfect crystal clear clarity.
Yeah.
You can see perfectly like how and where and when you should spend your time because you realize like life is super short and you only have an amount of time that you're not even sure how long that is.
Mm-hmm.
Could be another day.
Yep.
Or you could be here for another 50 years, 100 even.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
Mm.
Right? The way medical science is moving, you could live a very, very long time.
Very long time.
But to get upset about the dumb little things... It's just so unimportant.
It's not worth it. Look, unless we are going at it to end up laughing, I don't think it's worth it.
So is laughter absolutely one of the goals?
It is. It is a must, Gareth. Like I'm one of those people who looks for something to feel grateful about or to smile about on a daily basis. Like without fail, I will find something within the hours that I'm awake to be grateful or to laugh or to enjoy. It is a must without fail every day.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to live. So now that we've solved the world's problems.
We do this every week,
bro.
We
figured out the emoji problem and how to fix that. Mm. We've figured out how to spend your time thinking about important stuff, laughing more, who the brands and the business is. We've done it all. We've crossed and traversed pretty much the whole thing. Let me give you an idea of what else is happening on the show this morning, because we've got quite a busy day. We're going to be joined in a short while by someone called Nobisu Tundlovu, who is a director of SMEs, that's small and medium enterprises, at Old Mutual, because they're doing quite an interesting thing at the moment that I thought deserved a bit of attention. And it's World Entrepreneurs Day on the 21st of August, which is today.
Today.
So isn't that good timing? They've got like really interesting things going on there about, you know, people start small businesses and they kind of fly by the seat of their pants for a long time. I've got this mug, I want to sell it. Let's see who wants to buy it. How much does it cost me to make it? What can I sell it for before the market turns on me? Yeah, there's a lot of things to consider, but most people were making it up. Now, they're trying at Old Mutual and they're succeeding. And I've got examples of this that I think are worth paying a little bit of attention to this morning. Chief among them, Nobisutu's role there. And I thought, if you're running your own business, and many of the people who listen to us are, what kinds of things can we do? What can we bring to your attention on this show? What can we introduce you to perhaps that you hadn't thought of before? I'm assuming everybody already knows everything and I'm the only one who doesn't. But if you don't know some of the stuff, I think you could find her very interesting.
Yeah.
She'll be joining us in a short while. We're also going to be joined by somebody called Zahira Marty. Do you remember we did a thing with Canon, The Perfect Picture. They had that show on TV. And Zahira is one of the guests that we had on who impressed me enormously. I didn't know who she was before that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had her on the show, she was just this breath of fresh air. She was loads of fun. She was light. She was happy. She had things to say, opinions, well thought through arguments and points of view. I just suddenly thought we've got to talk to her. Well, it's taken us like a year and a half because she travels all over the world. She's one of those people who is never really in one place for very long. And we've got her. So today she's coming in.
Fantastic.
She's going to spend some time with us. Yeah.
Mm.
And she spends a lot of time between the United Arab Emirates, her shoot and project locations across the world. And I thought we'd find out about this woman's life because it does sound a hell of a lot more interesting than mine.
I'm willing to wager that I'm small enough to fit in her bag, but we'll see. We'll see.
And then I got this in the post. Can you see that? This is from Tsepo Jeans, right?
Yes.
They're also shooting the lights out at that company.
Yeah, they are.
Brilliant, brilliant business. And this is We the People.
We the People, yes. Yeah. In Venda.
That's correct.
Mm.
I did ask for them to give me mine in Setswana, but they didn't do it.
Oh, you wanted Runabato.
Correct. But they, yeah. It's okay. I even had to look this up. I'm like, that's not Tswana.
I'm glad that you could notice, actually.
No. I'm not that useless as a old white guy.
Yeah.
All right. So we want to hear from you this morning. Let's see what's going on in the comments section. That's always alive and ready with lots of interesting stuff. So a couple of things here. First of all, Color says, walking away from a situation because you realize that your participation will not make a difference is a sign of maturity. Finally, GC. I can't guarantee it's always going to happen, Color, but I am trying.
And yes, we can hope.
And one of the places I'm trying is social media. I don't have to hop in on everything. I mean,
yeah, you don't.
You know what the problem is? Is when you're having a busy day, you don't even look at your social media. You don't have time.
You don't.
You're doing important things and real life stuff. Again, fantasy versus reality. But on those days where you're waiting in a queue or you've got 5 minutes before a meeting and you hop onto your phone. And for me, I'm either going to be on X or Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because I don't do TikTok. For various reasons, I'm not interested in that. Who was it who told me? Leanne told me about Reddit on Monday.
Oh, I'm like, that's still alive.
I can't do without that. So I'm not going to go on there. So with Instagram, it's like just mind-numbing, like seeing what all the people that you follow are up to. There are a couple of cool things that I follow on there, like that, you know, there's this one feed that I go to, which is just like beautiful architecture.
Yeah.
Now that to me is very, very cool. I should do that more than X, which is the other thing I go on. Because there you see a point of view that you agree with and you're like, oh, I'm going to retweet that. But you don't. And if you don't retweet it, no one's going to, so I'm going to fix the world.
No.
I'm going to change anything. I could just as easily shut up and no one would notice.
But you know what I suspect happens with
so
you,
Karen? Color's right.
Here's what I suspect.
Go on. Diagnose me, doctor.
I think certain thoughts actually bring a physical discomfort to you, right? Like when you see something on X, what I've noticed is your tweets are always in short bursts. So you'll get two or three of them, one
You've
after
really
the
done
other.
An analysis, huh?
Seriously. One after the other. Because honestly, like, I don't think you get enough credit. I think your social media platforms are absolutely hilarious. I never know what I'm going to come across every time. Like when I'm on Instagram and I see something on your story, it could be...
It's like walking naked through the Kruger National Park.
Precisely. On the one hand, it could be something as brilliant as the architecture that you were talking about. Or the flip side of that, some British woman taking a taking a piss at sensitive liberal women. So it's a mixture of things. So I think... similar to me, I don't express myself that way on social media. I'd rather talk to people in front of me. But there's certain thoughts that cross your mind that if you don't get them out, it's like there's a physical itch somewhere in your body.
Yeah, maybe.
And I get it.
Maybe
maybe
that's how I got into the media business in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it's like I'm actually desperate to have someone to talk to about all this stuff and share things with. Who knows? Here's a great story. Carl says, started my small business in 2011. Just me and my mates. It's been extremely stressful. We now employ 350 people.
Hey, man.
We really just need government to get out of the way.
This is where we need the applause sound effects. Wah.
I love that, though. And really, you know, I mean, I think mostly Carl's just one of the loudest voices in the comment section. But honestly, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it is.
People like that. I'm not going to burst smoke up your ass, Carl, because otherwise you are going to start thinking you're a big deal. Maybe you are.
Yeah.
You're keeping the economy going, dude. It's not big corporations. It's not these the high-rise buildings in Sandton that are the engines of real trade and economy. It's not. It's the small businesses. So
which is
keep
why
kicking ass.
Which is why I get so frustrated when people come up with these scapegoat theories for why South Africa is where it is. They'll tell you, no, it's the influence of international markets and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. No. It's from the bottom up. It doesn't trickle down. It actually grows in the opposite direction.
Right.
And it's going to take you and I, literally you and I, to make different decisions on a day-to-day basis. And people like Carl are the perfect example of how you can turn things around. Listen to what he says. Like he says, it's been stressful, but what I can guarantee is that it's been worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right.
Come on.
I think that's right. Okay, so you've got a few things on the agenda before we get into small business stuff on World Entrepreneurs Day.
Ach.
You got pictures of our history. What the hell are you talking about here?
Okay.
You didn't bring pictures of our history.
No. Okay. Before we get into the history pictures. James, do you have me, bro? Those first two ones. So,
oh, you did bring pictures.
I did bring pictures.
And,
so,
and today's episode of Show and Tell is brought to you by Jack Mutlante.
All
right.
Okay. So I came across Candace Owens is like the gift that keeps on giving. So she started me off on this Bridget Macron thing.
Okay, but just wait before that.
Mm.
Timothy Maurice, who was our guest here last Wednesday,
yeah,
sent me a message yesterday. He's like, what do you think is going on with Candace Owens? And I said to him, I don't know. I think she's just hit the skids. Like, you know, some people are very well put together.
Yeah.
And she's not an idiot.
Mm.
But she started saying a lot of crazy, crazy things. And it's very easy to slip into a place where people no longer take you seriously. And I'm very worried that someone who actually has a very good brain and who has made a massive mark and has not destroyed her credibility is teetering on the brink at the moment.
Yeah.
I feel like when she starts saying everyone is wrong, everyone is stupid, everyone is lying, she doesn't like Trump now. She doesn't like Brigitte Macron. She says Michelle and Brigitte are men. Now, that's funny. I mean, we joke about that here on this show.
Okay? Yes, we do.
But this is the hill she's going to die on. This is going to be her thing. Like Brigitte Macron, she goes on Piers Morgan, which is not the, you know, arbiter of truth.
Mm.
Piers has hardly done himself any favors over the years.
Seriously.
Again, I respect the fact that he says what he says, and same thing goes for Candace. But for this to be her thing, like today I'm going to be Candace Owens, the woman who lets everybody know Brigitte Macron is a man.
Ooh.
This is her. This is the most important issue in her life. She's not a French citizen. She's not that interested in transgender stuff, if that is a thing.
Well, she is.
Is she?
She is.
Okay, now you bring up your picture.
So I just want to say, like, I think what happened with Candace is that she got a lot of backlash about some of her comments about Israel and all of that stuff.
Sure.
And what she's going through now seems like a bit of an overreaction to what happened with the Daily Wire. But that's just my thoughts.
So you think maybe she's overreacting now?
She is.
As it's like an overcompensation for what she believes was a slight against her.
Yeah. Okay. You know when you hear a supervillain's origin story and you're like, that's what made you mad?
Yeah, they were hurt.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Okay. Anyway, one of the things I do agree with her on, because she makes such a compelling case, is this Brigitte Macron thing.
Okay.
So before we go into our post.
Jack's also here, all right.
Before we go into our post, I would just like for us to look into our present, right? Uh-huh. So I don't know when the Macrons decided to go on vacation, but there's two images of them on a boat.
Yeah.
Gareth, look at the picture and tell me what you see, please.
All right, let's go. Have we got that picture?
Okay. There's the first picture.
So we got Emmanuel in the water.
Yeah.
We got two other oaks. And then there's Brigitte on the left there, right?
I see four men on a boat and two men in the water. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. All right. So is that Brigitte?
James, hold on. Give me the second one. Oh. Okay. Gareth, let's have a chat, bro.
All right. What is the problem here? Because...
So we are looking at presumably a rather well-groomed male lady.
It's not a man. That's a woman.
Is that
a
woman?
That's the First Lady of France.
Okay, so there's two ladies that just walked into the building. And ladies, can I just ask, thumbs up or thumbs down? Are we looking at a woman right now? Zoom out, Flex.
Wow, I like the fact that you guys can zoom into pictures like this. But I've got to say, like, first of all, I don't know how old she is. But I don't think we should be zooming in on her. Just first of all, I think that's very disrespectful of us.
It is.
I don't like that we're zooming in on her. Second of all, this is their private holiday away.
Hmm.
And I don't like where you're taking this, Jack. I really don't. I don't like this at all. I think this is extremely unnecessary.
Oh, like, shab, I'll leave it alone. That's the end of the comment.
How does this link to our history?
No. It was something that I felt that I had to bring it up. Because we're looking at the present before we go to the history, you see? See, back in the day.
Oh, boy.
Back in the day, there were people who lived lives that made sense because they were human beings and they were striving to be better than where they were, okay?
Yeah.
And one of those individuals is a gentleman by the name, I'll tell you his name. So this guy was a thief. Yeah. His name is Alvin Caprice, right? He was a career criminal who was nicknamed Creepy on the account of his unnerving smile, right? So because this guy was committing crime all over the place, he came up with a genius idea. They were finding him using his fingerprints.
Yes.
So he decided to go to a doctor and have them removed. Check out this picture.
Uh-huh.
Check that out.
So what how did they remove his fingerprints?
So he went to a physician by the name Joseph Doc Moran, who worked in Chicago. He performed cosmetic surgery on both Caprice and... Capri's, what's this? What do they call someone who commits a crime with you? Accomplice. There you go. Fred Baker, right? Yeah. And they actually got their fingerprints removed. Look at that.
Just be quiet, because in this country, there'll be a lot of crooks now who are going to want to go get their fingerprints removed. I didn't even know that was possible.
Can you imagine?
Because even if you burn your fingers or you cut yourself, your fingerprints kind of come back.
They kind of do, yeah.
So I think that's they must do something really terrible to people.
Yes, they do. Mind you, that happened in 1934 in the States.
All right.
cool, right?
Well, I don't know. Yes, I wouldn't say cool, but interesting.
I think it's cool.
Okay.
Now, back in the day, people actually had to work. There's a term that you used a few weeks ago that I absolutely love, sweat equity.
Yes.
People don't understand that these days.
We'll be talking about that in World Entrepreneurship Day in a moment.
Yes, sir. So, there's an image of a 9-year-old coming back from work.
Oh, yeah?
Check this out. So this 9-year-old is a factory worker in Maine in 1911, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. No less than 18% of all children aged 10 to 15 worked.
Look at that,
from
that 1890, child. Is that the child?
That's the child. There you go.
That girl?
From 1890 to 1910.
How old is she?
She's 9.
And she's been working at the factory all day.
She's making her way back from work. What were you doing when you were 9 years
old?
Well,
I'll tell you what. That's better than the way I see these children playing and watching TV. So you could learn something.
Yes,
sweat equity, right?
There it is. Doesn't she look overjoyed?
No, she looks miserable
she looks
as hell.
Proper
Are
miserable.
You joking? That's looks the most like unhappy person that I've ever seen on the screen.
It looks like the cover for a horror movie, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? I guarantee you she did not spend her time worrying about what other people on social media thought of her.
Yep.
Mostly because she didn't have social media, but also because she didn't have time to worry about anything.
At all.
She had to work.
She had to graph.
But you know, this is an interesting thing because it does give us a moment to reflect on how much has changed in like 100 years.
Yep.
And how people's lives, even though we think we have trouble, and we do, we have problems these days, there is a lot that we've got to solve for. But honestly, going back 100 years, like life has improved in leaps and bounds.
In leaps and bounds.
For everyone, right?
Which is why I find it difficult when I hear people moan and complain in 2024.
Agreed.
It's like, excuse you?
Exactly.
Excuse you? And the final picture that I have today is a bit unnerving. But this is how far we've come as human beings. So at some point, we used to put one another in zoos. Check this out. Now, this image is, it was taken in 1906 in Coney Island.
Is that a child?
That is a child in
Why
the,
is it
at
in
the bottom.
The zoo?
So they would huddle up these, what they call Native Americans, which we should actually just call Americans, but they would huddle them up and put them in these kind of encampments and all of that stuff. And people would legit pay just to come look at them. The way you would go to the Johannesburg Zoo to look at a monkey, that's how we used to treat one another.
My God.
Now, with those kind of images and where you think society is today, any gripe you might have, I think it's actually your responsibility to play a part in bringing the change to that gripe. And you are in a far better position to do so than those poor people that were put in a zoo.
Oh, my God. I mean, also, just give credit to human beings for the last 100 years of having pulled ourselves away from that kind of horrible. I mean, that's just awful.
It is absolutely awful.
Okay, well, thanks for that reality check. We said we were going to change fantasy for reality this morning. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I want to talk about is today, World Entrepreneurs Day.
Yeah.
The 21st of August, we're going to speak to somebody who I've been looking to speak to for quite some time now, Nobisuthu Ndlovu, who is the director of SME at Old Mutual Corporate. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the economic landscape, about access to finance, but primarily because we have so many people who listen to the show and watch the show who are their own boss, who've started their own business, who run SMEs. This is the perfect opportunity to see where we can find shortcuts, useful information, tips, the kind of tools that business leaders need in order to push their own businesses forward at a rate. And, you know, most of us are just going into these things blindly. We find something we think we can sell. We find what we hope is a market. We try to put the two together, and then the rest
we figure
pray
it out.
We just pray it falls into place.
Yeah.
So it's great to have you here, Nobisuthu. Thank you so much for coming to speak to us.
Thanks for having me, Gareth.
Sure.
How are you? We've got a woman in the studio.
I know, it's so great, because otherwise Wednesdays are very, very boring.
They're very boring.
So an accomplished executive and entrepreneur, extensive experience in the banking and fashion retail sectors. Currently, Nobisuthu leads the SME business focusing on strengthening Old Mutual support for South African entrepreneurs through a digital channel called SME Go. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But I think, first of all, happy World Entrepreneurs Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
And you're an entrepreneur too. This is what you did before you joined Old Mutual. And that gave you the experience, I think, to uniquely sit in a corporate environment, but be able to understand what the SME people are going through, right?
Yes, absolutely. I ran my own business, Burgundy Fly, and I see you wearing one of local
jeans.
Designers. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yes. Yeah. So, I guess, you know, did that for 14 years. 14 years an entrepreneur. Hard times, interesting times. And that's actually what definitely brings me here, because I have got that real life tangible experience.
So I think, first of all, let's just look at the landscape, because we have seen unemployment numbers go through the roof in South Africa. We've got this unenviable statistic that we're like one of the world's worst countries when it comes to unemployment. Mm. But there isn't enough in corporate South Africa to be able to fix that. In other words, the SMEs, the smaller and medium-sized enterprises, are going to be the future of our economy and are going to create those jobs and perhaps the wealth that we will have in an ideal world going forward, a world that we want to occupy, a world South Africa, I think, frankly, deserves. We've got hungry, smart people who want to get ahead in life. Is that what you're focused on too?
Absolutely. You know, linking to my personal experience, right? So I had about 15 designers in my store. Each of those designers had about 10 people that they employed. So it's 150 jobs that are created. Sure. So fast forward into what the work that I'm doing now, the reason I'm so passionate about it is because I've actually seen it firsthand. If we can actually enable and support, and we as consumers, so well done for buying local,
yep.
You know, and we as corporate citizens participating more effectively to actually help businesses, not just a talk shop, but rather a tangible solutions that actually help businesses get funding, get access to markets, and really enable their businesses to thrive. Unemployment is a real thing. I personally see it. We've all got some friends and family who've been sitting for about 2-3 years. And my hypothesis is we've got people not only with brains, but also with hands. And there's a massive opportunity where if you cannot use the technical skill set training that's required in certain instances, people have got hands to make things. And there's absolutely no reason why we should have people sitting at home and unemployed when people have hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the big challenges that I hear from people who run their own business is the access to finance challenge. Is that something that you at SME Go at Old Mutual are particularly interested in too?
Yes. So not only interested, but we are passionate about solving for, because it's not actually just about access to funding. It's help me get approved for funding. Because it's a painful chicken and egg situation. I remember it distinctly. There's a couple of elements that are painful about this. So you read the newspapers, they say, we're looking to fund SMEs. So there's no shortage of funding in South Africa, in the world. That's the reality. But what the challenge is that the funders on the other side are looking for not only a return, but to make sure that they can get the money back to give to other businesses, right? And so there's a... I remember one of my funders saying, I'm actually taking a bet. This is a gamble. Right. I'm actually just a professional gambler. So I'm trying to professionalize this business of giving money and hoping for the best, you know? So how we're trying to solve for this problem at the core is to say to ourselves, what are the elements that actually enable business owners to get approved for funding? So some basic elements such as check your credit score. So don't waste your time applying for funding when actually you can check your credit score. But more importantly, your bottom line needs to be positive, and that is what enables you to actually get funding.
I heard a scary statistic that businesses, new businesses, typically have a shelf life of about 2 years before, you know, they disappear. Longevity is a part of the game.
Yeah.
How do you address the idea of not giving up and doubling down in a certain direction? Because, I mean, as you said, you kind of have to navigate that road and figure it out as you go. But being disheartened and feeling down on yourself is a very real thing. It causes a lot of people to stop. How do you go about encouraging people to continue in that direction?
So I think it's psychological. This is mental game, like on a next level, being an entrepreneur. And one of the things I wish I was told when I started my entrepreneurial journey is take your time. My favorite book, as it relates to this theme, is Shoe Dog, right?
Mm.
I don't know if you guys have read the book.
Phil Knight.
Yes.
Yeah. Guy started Nike.
Yes. Hmm. And, you know, reading that book, I closed it. I was like, oh, no, I'm okay. Because 20 years in, 15 or 20, I could be wrong, terms of number of years, he was still like in $7 million debt, still hustling away.
And most of us at that level would go, okay, I'm just not meant for this. I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Time to get out.
Grab one of those emojis and
yeah.
Exactly, right? And social media doesn't help in terms of making people think that, you know, it should happen in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. It takes time. Mm. And I think that's the mental element that people just need to be aware of. And super, there's no rush.
Let's just talk very specifically about SME Go, because we had a lot of comments before you came in, and I said that we were going to talk about, you know, running your own business and what that means and where people struggle and where people need help and where they might just be able to get together and solve problems a lot more easily.
Mm.
Someone said their problem is this. Someone else said their problem is a completely different thing. How does Old Mutual help figure out what's missing and where people can be given the tools, the support, the ideas, even the psychological wherewithal to get through those, oh my God, this is a failure, it's not going to work moments?
Sure. So we're solving for it on a very deliberate kind of strategic approach. And the first approach says, first of all, funding is the means to an end. It's not the end in and of itself. So we're not starting at the funding line. We're starting at the element that says, for you to run your business, you need efficiencies.
Yeah.
And you need efficiencies so that you can focus on the growth element. So there's a statistic that says business owners spend 70% of their time on administrative activities such as HR, tax, and all of those things that you need, but they don't necessarily generate you the revenue. So the customers generate you the revenue. The marketing element generates you the revenue. So we've said, how do we create that efficiency through our tools on the platform?
Mm.
And we're looking at it. So I've got a tech background as well, which does help from time to
time.
And also having experienced, being an entrepreneur, we're going at it almost at a second level of detail that says, let's make it super duper easy. So my construction guy, Lesejo, after he's done my whatever I needed to do, because we were all doing renovations post-COVID, right? And we realized that our houses need changes. Every other 2 months, I've got something to change in the house. He doesn't have time to go home and actually, you know, send an invoice, sit down. That's not what he should be doing. So we've created an almost order to sales from the time that you're engaging with your customer all the way through to you need to send them an invoice, get paid by them, track your payments. We've automated that process. It's on app. It's integrated with WhatsApp. So you don't actually have to get offline in terms of the communication element. So we are making it easy to do business by helping you save time in the very basic. And also inventory management is included in there. And then the second aspect of growing your business that we've acutely understood is you need sales to come in at the top, right? And sales come in very simply either by individual customers or by large corporates. So what we're solving for is working with our other large corporate partners who are interested from a procurement ESD perspective to sell to SME, or rather buy from SMEs, and between business owners. So we're creating a marketplace, a B2B marketplace, where if as a business owner, you're actually looking for very specific capabilities, such as solar energy, which is, and the next thing is about to be water, of course, and any other services that you need from other businesses. So we've understood that people need to sell and they don't have time to go and find marketplaces. And this is not, it's very different from the, I'll call it business to customer, such as your Takealot, Amazon. That's a very different model from what we're looking at. We're looking at specifically business to business. And what we are solving for ultimately is when you apply for funding, your bottom line needs to be tip top, right?
Yeah.
So your business operation, that covers the expenses side of things. The sales, that's where our access to market solutions are coming in. And ultimately, we want to get business owners approved for funding because you need money to make money. So SME Go is really a holistic proposition that is aiming to help grow and run your business successfully and profitably. Most importantly, we want to ensure that businesses are extremely profitable.
Well, there are a lot of people in the comments here too who are complaining that what they really want is for government to get out of the way. But government is a big player in the economy, whether those people like it or not. And there have to be ways that we can influence policy, and it's very difficult for SME owners to influence policy. It's much easier for the big corporations to get in front of the president or to get in front of the finance minister or the Department of Small Businesses and say something.
No, absolutely. And that is part of our roadmap in terms of working with government, because if you scratch beyond the surface, government is trying. You know, there are programs such as the Black Industrialist program. There are some laws that they are putting in place to actually make things a little bit easier. A lot of funding programs that are unknown. And I think, you know, from a government perspective, their job is to create an enabling environment, and it's then for corporates and the business owners to then, you know, play in that enabling environment. So I think there's something to be said around almost looking beyond the regulation, and for us as business owners and corporates alike to actually make do is the wrong term. I'm almost thinking lemonade.
Well, I mean, so Carl here says, I don't think I could ever work for someone again. I've only ever had one real job. If my business ever went tits up, I'd have to go. I guess I'd have to, though. But that's the interesting thing, is like, there isn't a better or worse. Some people are really good at running their own business, and they need that freedom, but they also need the risk.
Hmm.
And then there are people who are extremely good at running things inside of corporations. And neither is better than the other. I mean, I've seen brilliant, brilliant people in both spheres.
Hmm.
Are you able to identify sometimes when someone is trying to run their own business, but actually they might be better for a job in a corporation? They might be the person who have to lead their own thing out there, but can be part of something so huge inside of a corporation and direct things in a very powerful way.
Yeah, so I'm an example of exactly that, right? And I think the interesting thing, when you start your own business, you're like, I want to be my own boss.
Oh.
And then you realize, upon reflection, actually all my customers are my bosses, mm-hmm. right? All my suppliers are my bosses. My staff members are my bosses. So there's actually no such thing as the concept isn't really what you might have thought it is, you know? But what I've seen is, for as long as you are clear in terms of what problem you're trying to solve and what societal or business value or commercial value you're actually trying to solve for, you can do it either in corporate or independently running your own business. Pick your poison.
Okay, so tell us about the solutions that you're helping to provide to people at SME Go, and how they can get involved in that, whether it's open to everybody, who it's open to, are there qualifications, are there things that you can access for free, what kinds of stuff can people do from here on in, if this is the first they've heard of it?
Sure. So SME Go is a digital platform. So it's available on web, iOS, and Android.
Right.
And we are really, SME Go is intended to be a one-stop shop for business owners to really run their business. So, and it's sector agnostic. So whether you are in construction, whether you are in the health services, or whether you're in the financial services business, the intention is really to help you manage the administrative aspect of your business. So that's the first part and almost our baseline that we've created. There is a free version, there's a 99 Rand version, and there's a 299 Rand version. And it really depends on terms of what volume your business is doing. The second aspect is the access to market element that I've just shared. That's coming now at the end of September. We're super excited about that proposition because I think it's really going to be a game changer in the market. And the theme is, again, saving entrepreneurs a lot of time to, instead of going to investigate these things.
I love this idea of invoicing and, you know, your supplies and your inventory and all of that stuff being automated.
All in one
place.
Because
for people to be spending their time on that is just such a waste.
Mm-hmm. It is. And ultimately, it's then taking, because one of the challenges that funders are looking for, can I see that you've got a going concern?
Mm.
Especially people that start their businesses and 6 months in, they're looking for funding. What information can you actually provide? So we're a trusted brand. It's run by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. And so really, SME Go is a digital platform that's saying you can run and manage your business so that when you do need funding on the other side, it is available.
Well, I just want to give credit to Old Mutual, because I know that a lot of big corporations in South Africa couldn't care less about the SMEs. So the fact that they're actually doing this and that they're trying to help people along is good for everyone. It's good for the economy. And that's why I'm very pleased that you came to explain some of this to us.
Thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Gareth.
Thank you, yeah, Nobisutu. This is what great. A pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good to see you. Nobisutu Ndlovu is our guest this morning. We've gone over by a couple of minutes, but you know what? It was worth it. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it was.
And if you are running your own business, I would suggest that you go and check out what Old Mutual are doing with SME Go. And we'll put all the details in our description later and link it on social media as well so you can find out more. But I think this is, for many of us, probably the right place to start because you – maybe you get going and you suddenly look at all these this mountain of administrative stuff that you have to do. HR, I mean, you mentioned HR in Nobisutu. That's a whole other nightmare. You don't have to be worrying about this. You want to have people who can help you along, smooth the way so that you can focus on what it is that you're the best at. And I think that's the amazing thing that they're doing here. So there we go. Take a look. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Zahira and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.